I was feeling a little frustrated on Thursday. I had more on my plate than I had realized, and I got wrapped up in doing some paperwork before I realized that I was going to be late for my appointment. So I quickly packed up all of my work, and I was switching from my lounge clothes that I hang out in the house to my work clothes that I wear, you know, when I leave the house. And I realized that it was too cold to wear a skirt and that all of my pants were dirty. So I was digging through the dirty clothes hamper, which I'm sure none of you ever do, and I was trying to find that least dirty pair of pants to throw on. And got those on, and I grabbed my shoes, and I realized that there's a hole in the bottom of one of my boots. But it's too cold to wear flats. And so I pulled my boots on anyways, and then I realized I'd put them on the wrong feet. It was one of those days. My frustration had been climbing and climbing, but I finally made it out of the house. And I was about to pick up the phone and do what I normally do when I get in one of these moods. Call my mother and complain. And then I remembered that it was November, the month of Thanksgiving, that I had challenged my congregation and myself to write these gratitude lists and to live into practicing gratitude. And so at the stoplight, while I was waiting for the light to turn green, instead of calling my mom to complain, I glanced at the text chain of my gratitude lists that I've been sending to Adam. And I read through a few of them, trying to ease my frustration. And it did ease my frustration a little. I was still wearing dirty pants, and I was still later than I wanted to be. But it reminded me of the good stuff, and to look for the good in life. So after I'd finished my meetings, I headed back here to the office, and I decided to take a little more time to look through my gratitude list from the last few weeks. Here's what I saw. Belly laughs, eyesight and the ability to see, bike rides on the levee, a husband who cooks, seeing pelicans, the chance to catch up with good friends, efficient computer programs, sweatpants on cold days, and good hugs. I started realizing that very few of the things that I was most thankful for, very few of the things that I had written down, had anything to do with money. And these were the things that had been my source of joy throughout these weeks. From the laughs, to the hugs, to the sweatpants, to computer programs. These were the things that seemed worth fighting for. These were the things I wanted to hold on to. And it reminded me that it's okay to release my grip on other things in my life. It's okay to loosen my hold on money and possessions because apparently they didn't have as much power in my life as I had assumed they did. You see, our scripture for today, it's about a group of people who are thankful. Not for material things, but for what God has done through Jesus. The passage describes a group of believers who are actually the very first members of Christ's church. We believe that this group consisted of the original 12 disciples minus Judas, as well as other believers in the early Christian movement. These were people who experienced God in flesh 24/7 for 3 years. They knew God's generosity. They saw generosity daily through Jesus' healings, through his miracles, through his interactions with others, the multiplying of fish and bread. They received forgiveness over and over again for doubting and not understanding what Jesus said. They received Christ as the Messiah, God in flesh, tangible to them. They experienced a God so generous that God shared of God's self and sent his Son. Is there anything more generous than to leave the perfection of heaven and come and dwell with us? We're told in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave God's only Son. God loves us. So God gave of God's self that we could live. Because love gives. God is generous. God gives and gives and gives to us, even though we don't deserve it, even though we could never earn it. God constantly pours out love and mercy and grace upon us. Because love gives. The apostles and the early believers, they realized that without God, they would have nothing. They were so thankful that they counted all that they had as God's. And they desired to spend their lives loving God and loving others. Verse 42 said that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship, to breaking of bread and to prayers. They devoted themselves to the teachings of Christ. Their response to God's generosity was devotion. They were loyal followers and gave of themselves continually with perseverance. We're told that they sold all of their property and their possessions to give to anyone who had need. No one claimed any possession as their own. They shared everything they had. God's grace was so powerfully at work in them that there were no needy people among them. They were content, fulfilled, not dependent on their possessions for their fulfillment. They loved and they gave, and God added to their number daily. Just as God loved them that God gave, these early believers so loved God that they gave. This passage, it's a great example of what Christ's church is all about. It's about people in love with God, giving thanks and loving others, welcoming new people into that community so they can love God and love others. This is what discipleship and the church is all about loving and giving. Here at Algiers, I'm pretty sure we've got this loving thing down pat. This is a place of warmth and welcome, unlike any other congregation I've been a part of. A place of gathering and of love. We are a congregation, but we're truly a family. Greeting one another with smiles and hugs, arms open wide to the person who sat in front of you for decades, and to the new face on the pew that you've never seen before. The warmth of this congregation is palpable. Everyone is family here. Everyone is welcome. Everyone is loved. Loving one another, living together, giving together, this is a Christian ideal. And perhaps we can never fully attain this ideal as the way that it's lived out in our scripture today, that community described in Acts 2. Because I'm not expecting myself or all of us to sell everything we own and live in a community where we share all of our belongings and give to any need at any time. So what do we take away from this scripture? For me, it prompts me to ask, how are we called to give? And where are we called to give? For me, it looks like looking back at that gratitude list that I've made and seeing what has appeared the most, what's appeared the highest on that list, and giving to the people and the places and the institutions that align with those ideals. For me, it's realizing that in our meet and greets that we had at this church back last summer, this summer, huh, gosh, 3 months ago when I arrived, realizing that at those meet and greets, people shared about wanting to continue to reach out to our surrounding community, to this neighborhood of young families, to increase our outreach, to provide more activities for children and youth, those already in this church, those at Mother's Day Out, and those who aren't connected to this church at all. We do this through loving, through the warmth that you've already mastered. We do this through giving, that possibly this church can go back to having a full-time pastor, that we can expand the ministries of this congregation. And so we give. We give of ourselves. We give of our time. We give of our finances. Which is why today you're invited to come forward during the singing of our final hymn, our hymn of commitment, to place your commitment card in the basket on the altar rail if you're a regular worshiper here, and to remember that this commitment is between you and God. I won't be opening your commitment card. No one in the church office will be opening your commitment card. Instead, we simply invite you to make a commitment to give to this church. Place your card inside of an envelope with your name addressed on the front, and next fall, we'll send this card back to you as a reminder of that commitment. No matter how big, no matter how small. Because no matter what we have, as Paul mentioned in our scripture last week, we are enriched, we are blessed in many ways. And we are producing thanksgiving to our God. May we continue to love deeply and give generously. Amen.